You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Now, as Absa delivers flat results today, the banking giant is now looking for another chief executive after the incumbent, Arrie Rautenbach, has opted for early retirement after what is termed discussions with the board. And it follows speculation in the marketplace that he didn't necessarily enjoy the support of his executive team. I want to try and unpick this a little bit with Kaya Sithole, who is a chartered accountant, an activist, an academic and commentator. Kaya, welcome and thank you very much indeed. In that relationship between a chief executive and the exco, where do fault lines typically occur?
Good afternoon to the listeners. The fault lines essentially occur when it comes to the question of the execution of the strategy. So the chief executive is obviously the primary strategy champion. He crafts it with his executive team. They sell it to the board. And if the board says, yes, this is the way to go, then it comes the time for execution. Now, unfortunately, in instances where there is a disconnect or perhaps a difference of opinion about how that strategy should be executed or if it's even the right strategy, then you either have to find a different type of executive team to lead that, or in instances where there is universal disagreement with the CEO's position, then of course it is the CEO who needs to look for alternative ways of engaging his productive time. And I think in the instance of Absa, over the many years where we've been observing their stories, they tend to have that type of disconnect in many, many instances.
And that disconnect is as a reason of what? Is it poor culture? Is it bad leadership or direction from the board? What is it?
It tends to be a combination of various factors, and in instances where one is able to craft a strategy that has the buy-in of the board itself and the executive team, then you don't see this problem. But in instances where perhaps there is really a divergence of opinion about whether the strategy is fit for business, then you tend to see those types of problems. What then becomes a responsibility of the chair of the board, for example, is to then find a meeting of the minds across all these key stakeholders and say, look, having considered the sum of everyone's inputs and the sum of the market inputs that we're seeing out there and figuring out where we want to be, this is what we think should be the way forward. And of course, if a particular individual feels strongly against that particular position, then it is in the best interests of the organization at large for that individual to pursue alternative opportunities.
How do you think Rautenbach's departure now is going to impact Absa's strategic direction going forward? And perhaps more importantly, the financial performance, but I guess the two are inextricably linked anyway.
Absa's great tragedy, of course, is that it has gone through significant fluctuations and, you know, shifts in recent years. So the first problem, of course, started with the breakup of Absa and Barclays, which meant that whatever strategy that Maria Ramos, for example, would have presided over many years, it had to adapt to the fact that Barclays was no longer in the room. So you've got that particular strategy direction. And then thereafter, after Maria had left, then you had a new CEO. Then there's the question of, well, does the CEO buy into the strategy that he found already under development? And if the case was that he didn't buy into it, then you see the type of exit that we observed in Daniel Milne's time, where they were quite clear that they couldn't find that meeting of the minds when it comes to strategy. So now that we've had yet another CEO heading for the exit door, the question to be asked is, well, firstly, is this the right strategy for an organization of this kind? And if it turns out that this is a strategy that the board believes is the way to go, and yet they can't seem to find a CEO able to execute on it, then you need to revisit the question of, well, have we even got the right template for what we're trying to do? Then, of course, there's a secondary and more difficult question of whether anyone would be willing to step into this particular job, given the fact that over the past few years, there's been so many people that have tried to occupy it and they haven't succeeded for a variety of reasons. Does anyone actually have the appetite and the courage to say, I'm going to try and get this working?
So what type of person should the board be looking for?
I think the board first should be looking within itself and figure out why it is that it keeps finding itself in these positions of very poor succession planning. And it's not just at the executive level. Even the board itself has had to go through a forced transition, given what happened with Sipho Pijana in particular. So the first question that the board needs to deliberate on is, wait, before we even start hunting for a person, what exactly is it that we think this organization is about? What is this organization's strategic orientation? What is this organization's culture? And then start asking the question of, will anyone be willing to step up internally? Does anyone have the capacity, and is anyone trust worthy enough to be able to step up from within? And if that's not the case, if we look outside, who are we looking for? What are we looking for? And what are we promising them as the type of support that is necessary in order to enable them to execute? So in fact, this should be a far more patient process where the board has to figure out what on earth it actually ought to do, instead of just simply saying, well, here's a job, let's find the next person that's available. That simply will not work. They have to be very deliberate in figuring out what it is that APSA represents in the market, how APSA is perceived by potential executives in the market, and if there is a universal discontent about how the board and how APSA itself is seen by those that would have the capacity and the skills to step in, then APSA needs to revisit that and figure out how to get that alignment so that people do not keep saying that, actually stay away from that ship.
What do you think the key characteristics and skills are that a modern banking chief executive needs to navigate the complexities that exist within the job right now? It's an awesome, awesome task.
Look, I think in recent years, we've seen obviously how complicated and how complex banking institutions have become. I think compliance, regulatory requirements, and simply just navigating and staying ahead of your peers are remarkably demanding tasks. I do not believe there is a single individual who can say, I've mastered it all. So what you want to be able to do is to find a person who has the ability to marshal the troops and say, look, I am ultimately the person who is the primary interface between the board, the regulators, and everyone else. However, I am here to support you in the endeavors that you are individually and collectively executing in pursuit of this particular mission. And that's the type of leader that you need to be able to have, a leader who then is able to convince everyone who has to be able to do the job behind the scenes that they are not only doing the right job, but also that they've got the support of a leader who will back them in times of crisis. We know that crisis is an ever-present and omnipresent elephant in the room in the banking sector. So you need to be able to find someone whose leadership skills and whose leadership potential is able to convince people that, look, this is the person who's going to be able to navigate through the difficult times which are inevitable, and also to be able to support us in actually harnessing our collective skills in order to get the best outcomes for this institution.
I do appreciate the conversation. Kai Sotole, thank you so much.